buttons down here first. And we're on.
Good. Okay, so the first thing we discussed was the Mishnah, Daf of Gimel and Beis, which says even the five women who are not Nehemiah to say Meis Bala are Nehemiah to bring the gap. Without getting into the details, they were just the Ikaron. So we went on a little bit of a tangent on what about these, what's this Indian of Nehemiah and say Meis Bala. Point out the Mishnah, Yivamos, Daf, Kufchav, Beizim, and Aleph. Has it been a chlokis? Do you need two edim to say that the husband died? Do you need one aid? Does it have to be kosher? Can it be even puzzle? We pass, and of course, there can be one aid, and even the Karov, even Nashim, even Vadim Shvachos, even ADPA, even all the Psuleidus. So, why are we so make? How can we matter? It's a Dabashir Erev, it should be Shtayim. How can we matter and be married based on one aid? So, there's many days that are shown, and we chazer three of them. Rashi, hiding in Shabbos, Daf, Kuf, Mem, Hey. Famously says, Afkinu Rabban on the Kiddushim, meaning they use the power of Afkinu and uprooted the first Kiddushim. Tosfos, right there in the main Sugya, says the famous radical sheet of Tosfos, which is that Yesh Koch B'Yachacham Lachar Dabrin HaTorah B'Kum Vaseh, even though normally the rule is Ein Koch B'Yachacham Lachar Dabrin HaTorah B'Kum Vaseh, that according to the Tosfos, all of our Shas, Yesh Koch B'Yachacham, even B'Kum Vaseh to go against the Torah with Midi Dami, in something that seems logical, as long as there's a logic behind it. The Rambam has a third shita. The Rambam says, I think it's at the end of Hilchos Gerushin, that the Rambam says that it's based on a chazaka that that when do you need two aid? Only for things where the person might be tempted to lie and get away with it, because he could fool you. But when it comes to saying someone's dead, so eventually if they're alive, the truth's going to come out. If people are really alive, then they'll surface somehow. There's no way to like excuse that. Like if I say he's dead and he's alive, then I'm just a total liar. So I know I'm going to get caught. So when someone knows they're going to get caught, they wouldn't lie. So there's a chazaka. It's not really aidus, but it's a chazaka that this aid must be telling the truth because he wouldn't lie about something where he knows he's going to get caught. Okay, so those are three sheets in the Rishonim. What underlies this? There are other sheets as well. Three main sheets in the Rishonim. What underlies this special nemanus? And then the Mishnah points out there are five women who, because of their relation, familiar relation with this woman, are a chazaka that they might hate her, and that we wouldn't believe say Meis Bala, because they're just trying to make trouble. So, either you have to say just the Takana Darabana was a chal in this case, if you hold the Takana Darabana, like Rashi and Tosos, or for the Rambam, if you hold the chazaka, you have to say that there's an anti-chazaka that they hate her, so that cancels out the chazaka. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, the main point of our Mishnah is that according to Rashi and Tosfos, you have to say the Chachamim made the Takana for most women, but didn't make the Takana for these five women, so there's no Afkinu, or there's no Oker Derben HaTorah. According to the, you know, it's just a decision of the Chachamim. According to the Rambam, where it's an actual Chazaka, so you have to say, why don't we follow the Chazaka even by these five women? Because there's an opposing Chazaka, that they would try to mess her up, so the two Chazakas cancel each other out. Lemaisa, the main point of our Mishnah is that there's still never to bring the get because of this principle of we don't think it's a fake get because of this or forged get to this principle of Shaksav Mochiach. What's the nature of this principle of Shaksav Mochiach? What this means is that whoever brings the get, no matter who they are, has always believed that they're authentic, that they're a real Shliach who is appointed by the real Baal to bring a real get. Because the Ksav Mochiach, because they come with a signed get, right? The assumption is they come with a get with Chasimos. So the get proves that it's really true. The chasimus prove it's true. So, what does Haksav Mochiach mean? So Reb Chaim said, this seems to depend on the famous of Chosin, the Rambam, and the Ravid.
What we're saying here, though, are we assuming that we're saying Haksav Mochiach here? Here it seems to be that we're saying that she's Mamma.
No, the Mishnah says, Mamma Gila Mishnah, Haksav Mochiach. So, what does Haksav Mochiach mean? So, the famous of Chosin, the Rambam, Ravid, do you need Eidos Lakima Dovar for appointing a shliach liholacha, let's say a man appoints shliach liholacha for kiddushin. So first, like the Kabbalah, the Rambam and Ravid both seem to agree that you need edus l'kiyam adavar. What about for shliach liholacha? So the Rambam says you don't need edus l'kiyam adavar shliach liholacha. It means you can appoint him just between the two of you, and it's still valid. If you want to prove it, it's okay. Then we'll worry about it. But you can appoint between the two of you, and you're still valid. What's the raya? Right is for Ede Get, you don't need Ede Slikiyam Adavar. So, too, for Ede Hilochas Kiddushin, you don't need Ede Slikiyam Adavar. Just like if a man makes a shlich l'olacha for a get, he can do it in private. So too, if I make a shlich l'olacha for a kiddushin, I can do it in private. The Ravid, that's Ishus Parakim Alach Tesvav, the Ravid jumps down the Rambam's throat, says, what are you talking about? In get, there's a special reason why I can make a shlich l'olach in private, because Aksav Mochiach. Says, really, all shlichus and erva and davar shem erva need to just l'kiyam and davar. It's just that in holachas I get, since you have Aksav Mochiach, that counts as the edus l'kiyam and davar. But if I give you a ring to go do kiddushin for me, and there's no Aksav Mochiach, then it doesn't count as the edus l'kiyam and davar. So what do we see here? Machlok is in the Rambam and the Ravid. What's Machlok is in the Rambam and the Ravid? Machlok is how to evaluate shlichus l'holacha of a get. The Rambam says it doesn't mean Aegis l'kiyam adavar. It doesn't have Aegis l'kiyam adavar. And so too, all holachos don't need Aegis l'kiyam adavar. The Rambam says, no, it needs Aegis l'kiyam adavar. It has Aegis l'kiyam adavar. What's Aegis l'kiyam adavar? The ksav. And therefore, all shlichus l'holacha need Aegis l'kiyam adavar. So Reb Chaim explains what the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. He makes it much, much more complicated. He gets a lot more detail. But the basic, first step you saw with the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid is the famous Brisker Chakira by Shtaros. Right, we all know that Shtaros seem to prove a lot more than they actually say. So why is that? So the sort of one way of understanding it is, it's just because we have certain psychological chazakos that imply certain things. The Brisker way of understanding it is because a shtar is a unique kind of edus, which is not made on a particular historical fact or event like regular edus, but it's rather made on a certain on a certain result or goal, which is the unique heft of shtar, and therefore it's an open-ended edus, which is made to various things that are implied by the shtar. So, for example, how about the fact that a kol behechsher naseh? The fact that a shtar is made, that it was kosher. So you could understand that as just, it's chazaka, people don't forge shtaros. Rashi says in some place in Shas, I forget where. It's chazaka, people aren't chotzev to forge shtaros. Or it's a chazaka, people wouldn't make possible shtaros. But, or you could say, no, the shtar is made on itself, even though that seems sort of paradoxical, but it's still true, the shtar is made on itself, that it's kosher. Or, an easier case, is the famous issue of shtar chabiyadi my boy, right? If I have a shtar that says I lent gold in $1,000 and he claims perua, then I win. So I say I'm holding on to the shtar, so therefore you didn't pay me. So that could be just a psychological chazaka. It's a psychological chazaka that if you had paid me, you would have taken the shtar and ripped it up. So therefore it proves you didn't pay me. Or it could be the Brisker way. No. Within the shtar, since the shtar is not a regular edus that is recounting historical events, but it's rather unique cheftishal edus on this cheftishal hava. So within the shtar is not only that I lent you the money, but that you didn't pay me back. That's kumul in the edus of the shtar. So it's not a chazaka that you didn't pay me back, it's an edus that you didn't pay me back. This is in general, you can ask this chakir about many things. So shtaros, sorry. So, Reb Chaim says, what about the idea of haksav mochiach? Meaning that the shtar proves that you're really a shliach l'holacha. Right? Yossi Golden comes from Medinas Hayam with a shtar saying Reuven is divorcing Leah. How do we know that Reuven really made him a shliach to divorce Leah? Well, because he's holding a get with signatures that Reuven wants to divorce Leah. So how do you understand that? Is that just a psychological chazaka? Reuven knows that a get with signatures is divorcing Leah is a very valuable, sensitive document, and he wouldn't have given it to someone unless he really appointed them a shliach l'holacha. Therefore, it's a psychological chazaka that if you're holding it, he must have appointed you shliach l'holacha. Because a get is serious business. You don't just stam give it to people unless you actually want them to do something with it. Right? You don't stam like, hey, oh, hold my get. No, you take it seriously. Or is it not a stam psychological outside chazaka? It's part of the aegis of the shtar. The aegis of the shtar, this is part of the brisker part of the shtaros, depends on what they call the tfisas ba'al shtar. After all, what makes the shtar be made? And who's holding it? If I'm holding it, it's made, you can pay me back. If you're holding it, it's made, you can pay me back. So if the shlech l'holacha is tofes, he becomes the baal shtar. So if Yossi comes from Medina Sayyam and he has the shtar, it's made on him that he's a shlech l'holacha. That's part of the edus of the shtar. So what is ksav mochiach? What does this line in the Mishnah mean? Does this line in the Mishnah mean there's a psychological outside chazaka that you must be a shlich l'holacha, or else why would he have been so careless as to let you get your burly claws on this yet? Or is it part of the edus of the shtar? The shtar is meyed that you were appointed a shtar for halacha. So Chaim explains that this is goof of the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. According to the Ravid, it's real edus. This is edus that you were shlich lahalacha. Therefore, the Ravid holds you do the edus l'kima davar from your shlichus. Where's the edus? The edus is in the shtar, because it is a chetzishal edus, so you do need edus l'kima davar, but there's a chetzishal edus in the shtar. The Rambam holds it's not edus. It's only a psychological chazaka. It's only an umdana bi'alma. Therefore, it's not edus, just a chazaka. It's not edus. Therefore, the Rambam says, it might be a chazaka that'll prove things to our satisfaction. Labir hadamar. It's not actual edus, not a chetzishal edus. So if it's not a chetzishal edus, where's the edus? This must prove that you don't need edus l'kima davar for appointing a shliach l'holacha. So Rav Chaim says that's what underlies the machlokes in Rambam and Ravid. Again, the Ravid thinks that ksav mochiach is a chetzer shel edus, is part of the edus of the shtar, and therefore you do need edus l'kima davar, and you have it. The Ravid thinks ksav mochiach is just a side chazaka, and whatever edus l'kima davar must be, you don't need edus l'kima davar. Agav, just by way of summary, at the end we pointed out there are actually three shitas about appointing shlich l'holacha, seem to be at least. One is the Rambam says, you don't need edus l'kima davar to make a shlich l'holacha. The second is the Ravid that says, you do need edus l'kima davar to appoint a shlich l'holacha, but you always have it, because the tzav mochiach is edus. Third shita seems to be the Rush, in the Perek Dalad, halacha beis in the Rush. It's quotes from a Yerushalmi, and seems to say that you need edus l'kima davar, and you don't have it. And you need Eidus L'Kiyam HaDavar, but Ksav Mochiach is just a Chazak and it's not Eidus L'Kiyam HaDavar. So what happens? When you appoint a Shleich L'Holacha, you actually need to bring two other people into the room and have them witness the Minoy. So that's the third Shita. That was the first Inyan we discussed. The second Inyan we discussed was somewhat of a tangent off our Sukkah, was on Daf Chavdal and Alf, and they're trying to find the peculiar hechitimtzi of the end of the Mishnah, of the Isha Atzma. They say the husband tells her, you shouldn't be divorced until you get to Bifnei Bezdin Ploni. So he makes these funny requirements on the Gerushin. And then later on we have the same thing, right? He says, well, you should be a Shluch L'Holacha until you get to this Bezdin, and then be Shluch L'Kabbalah, and then put on the ground, or he makes all these conditions. So he makes conditions. Why does he make conditions? Well, he's in charge of the Gerushin, he can make conditions. Certainly later on when he makes your Shliach, you can make conditions on your Shliach. We're not really talking about our sugya, but Agav, we pointed out a fascinating machlokas on the mission of Samach Yomar Aleph. What about if I tell my Shliach, you should give this get to my wife in a certain place, and he gives it her in a different place? Or the wife says, accept it for me in a certain place, it gives me a different place. So the Chachamim say, it's a puzzle because you didn't do what you were told to do. But Rabbi Eliezer says it's kosher because he's just Mari Makam. He's Mari Makam Hilo. He wasn't telling you have to do it in this place. He was just telling you, oh, this is a place where you could do it, like a suggestion. So what's the Machlokim, the Lezer and the Chachamim? So you could understand the Machlokim, the Lezer and Chachamim. The simplest way is just they're arguing about psychology, what people mean. When I say, go do this chalos for me in a certain place, do I mean I dafka want you to do it in that place? Or do I mean I want you to do it, but I'm suggesting to you that you'll find the guy in that place? In which case, it's just a psychological machlokas about what people are thinking. It's not very fundamental, but it could be, maybe you could say, that no, there's a fundamental machlokas going on, and we'll have to see if you could say this. Which is that the question is, do I have the right to control? I obviously have the right to control the chalos and say I only want it to happen in a certain way which is better for me or worse for me. But do I have the right to say something that makes no difference at all, to just put arbitrary conditions on this chalos? So do I have the right to put these arbitrary conditions on my chalos or not? So it could be, maybe if you want to be a chadish, say the chachamim hold, I have the right to make these arbitrary conditions like in Boston, not in New Haven. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, Mari Makom Hulo, I could tell you to go to Boston and think that's a good place to find the get. But ultimately, since it makes no difference, that's not relevant. If it's not relevant, then it's not halachically valid. That would be a more mechudish way of reading this. So is there, do we ever find in Shas that I don't have the right to make arbitrary conditions? So maybe you could be very legit that way, but that's not the Pashtus. So where else do we find this inyan? So in Kiddushin, Mishnah Daf, what is it, Mem Tes and Beis or something, there's all the guys who misdescribes himself for Kiddushin. Thank you, Mem Tes and Beis. Amenasha, you call him, it's a Levi, Levi, it's a Kohen, etc. It's a Mem Kachem, it's been here, okay. So all these ways in which he describes himself wrong. We're Asher and it's Mechesme, it's Asher and it's Ani, Ani and it's Asher. What about all these conditions? It might seem to be, oh, that's the condition, that's the condition. The Rishalmi goes through at great length and explains why each one of these things could be actually bad for the woman either way. Like why it would be worse if you're a Kohen, better if you're a Levi, or worse if you're a Levi, better if you're a Kohen, or worse if you're a Ben Krach, better if you're a Ben Ir, worse if you're a Ir, better if you're a Ben Krach, worse if you're far from the bathhouse, worse if you're close to the bathhouse. Because the Rishalmi assumes all of these have to be actually relevant. They can't just be irrelevant facts. So what do we see from the Rishalmi? So it could be that in the Rishalmi, we see that irrelevant facts cannot be a condition. The Rishalmi thinks, no, only relevant facts can be made a condition. But arbitrary requirements are not considered halakhically binding. They're null and void. However, it's not so posh in the Rishalmi, because this Rishalmi, this mission is a funny kind of tanai. It's not that the woman made a tanai, I'll only marry you if. The husband said, this is who I am, let me marry you. So it wasn't like a regular tanai where the woman said, I only want to marry you if you're this. The woman said, I want to marry you. The husband said, I'm offering myself as a marriage prospect. You should know I'm a Kohen. And the woman said, okay. So it could be that's why the Rishalmi says it was just an irrelevant, arbitrary factor. We would ignore it. Because they never explicitly said the marriage depends on it. Because the woman didn't demand it. The husband offered it. So it could be if you just offer something, then if it's relevant, it's taken to be, as a mekach tos, be crucial to the das. And if it's not relevant, it's just arbitrary, it's taken to be just on dvar bialma. Ketume mila bialma. But, so this Rishalmi is not necessarily good proof. Perhaps we could learn from this Rishalmi that this tremendous chiddush, that the halacha says we ignore arbitrary conditions, but it could be not. It could be that's only if it wasn't said as a condition by the person who cares about it, if it was just thrown there or thrown out on the table. If it's thrown on the table and it's not relevant, then we ignore it. But if it's not, someone said, no, this is my condition, like the woman had said, Amanasir Kohen, then maybe the Rishalmi wouldn't have cared whether it was arbitrary or substantive. So that Rishalmi is not necessarily a proof. The other place that might be a proof is in Ksubas Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah discusses two cases. Nedarim. Either the guy was a Mekadosh, the woman, and found she had Nedarim, it's a Mekach Tos, or the guy said, Al-Manasa, I don't want a wife with Nedarim. And then obviously if she finds that she has Nedarim, we find she has Nedarim, it's a Mekach Tos. The Gemara says, there's certain Bryce that says, which Nedarim does this apply to? Only the Nedarim of Inui Nefesh, only important Nedarim, only relevant Nedarim, not irrelevant Nedarim. And then there's 2 days in the Gemara, whether that's a Reisha or a Seifa, meaning there's 2 days in the Gemara when we say relevant Nedarim are ma'akev the marriage, but irrelevant Nedarim we don't care about. Is that the Mestam guy or a guy who said Al-Manas you don't have Nedarim? But there's 1 day in the Gemara Nedarim that says even though he said Al-Manas you don't have Nedarim, if the nether is not really relevant, doesn't affect his life, then she's still married. His condition is null and void. So that seems to prove that even if you make the condition explicitly, here's the guy saying, I only want to marry you if you don't have the nedarim, and if found she has a nether that's not one that he really should care about, then his condition is null and void. That might seem to be a proof that maybe Mari Malkum Hulo really means that any condition you make that's arbitrary, that's not relevant, is null and void. You only have the right to be makbid on, and that's what the Gemara says. When Mila Dekapti and she have a Kpeda Kpeda. Only something which you have a reason to be machmed on is your Kpeda Kpeda. If it's something irrelevant and arbitrary, we ignore your Kpeda. So is that true? That actually seems to be Machlokes Rishonim, whether in fact we get this idea. The Tosva says there that what is the day that says even though I said Al Menashe Ein Lecha Alai Nedarim. It's still, if it's an irrelevant nether, we ignore my tonight. That just means because mistama my das was only for relevant nedarim. When I said nedarim, mistama I only meant important nedarim, relevant nedarim. But I admit, if I said explicitly, almanas that you don't have any nedarim, whether relevant or irrelevant, then the marriage would be bottled. So Tos says, the Gemara is not saying this radical idea that we ignore his peda if it's not relevant. It's just saying, mistama, he didn't mean it. But the Ramban has two days about, quotes two Yesh Omers about this, quotes one Yesh Omer like Tosos, which he prefers, and one Yesh Omer otherwise. So according to one shot in the Gemara Ksubas, which is the other Yesh Omer in the Ramban, says, no, even though the guy said, almanas, you don't have any nedarim regardless, we ignore his tonight if it wasn't relevant, it was just arbitrary. So then that would be a big Kiddush. That even when a person wants to make a payment and says, my own chalos, I can make whatever rules I want. I can say whatever almanas I want. We say, that almanas is not relevant to anything and doesn't affect you in any way, and you have nothing, you don't lose anything from it. Then we totally ignore your peda, and we say that's not an allowable part of your das, and that would be a big finish. So, back to the Gemara, if we start the Gemara Subas, we have one day that says, no, if you in the Gemara that says, if you make a tanai, then all tanai are relevant. One day it says, even if you make it tonight, it's only if it's something which you have a reason to be makan on. Even within that one day, a Tosos, in the first day in the Ramban, says, we're not discussing bi'ikaron, whether we ignore what you say. We're just discussing what you probably meant. But the second day in the Ramban says, no. Even if you said explicitly, I'm going to ask you of zero, no nadarm of any way, shape, or of any type, still, we ignore what you said. And if she is an innocuous neder, then the marriage is still valid. That shows that we ignore your kpeda if it's an arbitrary kpeda. So you bring that back, maybe that's what's going on in Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi thinks kpedas in marriage are only valid if they're relevant. But if it would be arbitrary, we would ignore it. And maybe you could bring that back to Daf Samachay, where we realize it's Mayim Makom Hulo, if it's arbitrary, then we would ignore it. Maybe. One could be Mechalik, last thing we pointed out, between Shlichus and Chalos, it could be that maybe we would ignore an arbitrary tonight by the Chalos, but it would still be valid by Shlichus. Why? Because it could be that shlichus is only shliach for what I make your shlich to do. And even if I make your shlich to do some arbitrary thing, lemaisa, that's the only thing you're shliach for. That's based on the Chiddush the Ramban and the Sefer Zechus and Gittin Dafayin Hay, who says you don't need mishpatei tzarim when you make a shliach. Normally for tzarim, you need mishpatei tzarim. If I agree and I want to make a condition, I have to make a good condition. But for shliach, I appoint you to do X, not Y. So mainly, you're not my shliach to do Y. I don't have to have any formal language or good, strong explanation of how I don't want you to do Y. Says, if I say you're mishpideshes to me, almanas, I fulfill all the mishpideshes to me, or else we ignore my almanas. But if I say, go be my shliach, only if you do X, Y, and Z, then I only made the shliach to do X, Y, and Z. So there's just nothing, no way the shliach gets off the ground without that. So this actually comes up a lot in Loch Lamaisa, this Kiddush the Ramban. So you could say likewise that one could say that if I make it within the Chalos, I say I want to marry you, but you know only if it rains on Tuesday, then maybe we could ignore that. So you could say, look, that's not relevant. That's not a dover that people are mocked on. But if I say I want you to be my shliach to be mekadosher when it rains on Tuesday, then it could be that would be valid because like, you just didn't make him a shliach on Wednesdays or on sunny Tuesdays. So you could make that chiluk.
Is this against the Gemara and Moses with Nesar
Shlichus? No. That's not talking about the content of the Sinai. That's just talking about the nature of the chalos. This is a chalos that I can make rules for, a chalos I can't make rules for.
I guess
for.
The question is what is it based on? There's a limitation you're building
tonight. What is this based on? So it's not clear if this is based on some sort of butladite to call other. It sounded more like it was based on the idea that I can choose to make a chalos or not to make a chalos. The conditions I can make for the chalos are only some sort of a chiddush that I can make conditions to a chalos. And I can only make conditions that are logical.
Right, so the way that it's much more rational, elaborated by Rukhani, this is going to switch to us, is it all ties into the same sort of thing about dover. So if I can, the implication being that
no, but even if I'm Baldover, if you take Tanai, for example, specifically, there are other ways to make conditions besides Tanai, the Rambam points out. But if you take Tanai specifically, we know that I can't make any Tanai that I want. I can make any Shlichos that I want, but I can't make any. That's exactly what the Rambam's saying. I can make any Shlichos that I want without any Mishpatim restricting me, but I can't make any Tanai that I want, because even though I'm a Bailam to make a Tanai, but once I'm using the track of Tanai, there are limitations to how I make a Tanai. So I don't think that bothers me.
Sorry, just stay back to our Gemara. What was in?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't really connect so much to our Gemara. The way he's serving the earth, is it a Chiddush that he can say only in Bezdin Ploni? So it might be a Chiddush he can say only in Bezdin Ploni. I guess the point would be that either you have to say there's no Chiddush, he can do whatever he wants, or you have to say that no, he obviously, there is some good logic for why it would be worse for him outside of Bezdin Ploni and Griffin and Bezdin Ploni, and somehow Mechadish that he still has the right to say that. Or maybe some other star. But you're right, he never really plugged it into our Gemara. Okay, the third thing we discussed comes up in the Chavtel and Aleph, the Psul of Tli Gid Techmei Agave Karka. So, what's the problem of Tli Gid Techmei Agave Karka? So, we're looking basically like two studim to Chakira. The classic side is that it's a Chisorin of Venasa B'yada. Right? He didn't give it to her, she took it. The Rambam counts 10 things you need in Gerishin, and one of them is that he has to give it to her, and never mentions that one of them is Tli Gid Techmei Agave Karka. Why? Because Tli Gid Techmei Agave Karka is the scene of B'yada. It's just a lack of Nasa B'yada. That's one shot. However, he has a little trouble explaining this in Gemara Dafayin Chesem and Aleph. It's a very funny Gemara. The Gemara said if she took it out of his pocket, that's good enough. What's going on here? She just took it. So they say, Arak Lachartze, he bent his waist over to her, and then she took it. So the point is, she didn't take it, it was him giving it to her. So here he said, this is a little tricky, because if you say, like, it's one joint maisa, you know, if he throws it to her and she catches it, that's one joint maisa, where he really did an asina. But over here, like, if you view it as one joint maisa, then I understand. He gave it to her and she received it in her hand. That's fine. But I'll be passionate. He said this is a little tricky because you could actually divide this as two discrete steps. First, he bends his hips, and then she takes it. Like, that's not really all one maisa. First, he bends his hips, and then she takes it. So it's a little funny. Because first he bent his hips, but how does that help? Then she just took it and he didn't give it to her. So, if you want, you could say, no, it's one big mice in the scene. He bent his hips and gave it to her. View it as like, you know, as if he was part of her taking it and it was really nasa b'yada. That's a little difficult. So if not, maybe you have to say something more mechudish, which is that the holish of Tli Gid Techmei is not midin v'nasa b'yada. Rather, go back to the Chakira, which Rav Lichtenstein started the year with, which what's the nature of the whole process of get? Is this a formal legal process of shtar? Or is this a interpersonal existential process of shilulach? Meaning, is it just he has to get her a certain message, however it has to be b'ksav? Or is this a real nesina shtar? So he said it could be, if you're looking at it as a formal mice nesina, then arg lachartzi doesn't help. But if it's just that he has to send her a certain message, then body language does send messages. And it could be that even though he didn't mamish do a nasa b'yada, you know, he doesn't need to do a formal maisa nesina of chalot or kula. He just needs to be sending a message that he wants to tell her to get lost. And even kimas masnayim, even arak lacharzi might be good enough.
So even if we do separate it,
Even if you do separate it, even if first he did Arik Lacharze and then she took it, and you view it as two discrete acts, which is a pashtos, so you say, oh, there's no Manasa B'yada. So he says, who cares? It's not that you really literally need Manasa B'yada. It's that you need him to be taking some initiative and showing that he wants to send a certain message. And therefore, as long as he has some initiative in this process, even if she actually did the lekicha, bottom line, and even if he didn't literally do menasa b'yada, as long as he takes some initiative in this, that is good enough. He's still sending the message. That was the chiddush that he wanted to say to a different way to explain the issue of Tli Gid Techmei Agave Karka. Not that you need a formal maisa nesina, and that somehow you have it in Arak Lacharze, but that you need him to be... In part of this process, you need him to be taking initiative and showing that it's his initiative to send this message and not her to be taking initiative. If you say this, then this is still a big chiddush. It needs to be clarified more, I admit. But if you say this, and this is an effective question of that the Achronim deal with, is there psul Tli Gid Techmei Agave Karka in other things? The Avnei Lum deals with, what about Kedusha Shtar? Do you say V'yatzva Ha'is, there's psul Tli Gid Techmei Agave Karka, or do you say... How about Shechuri Avodim, which in many cases we know in the first parak, Hukash Legite Nashim. is there a psul tefilin gift going to Gabrikarka or not? The Rav wanted to claim there was no psul by Avadim because we know Eidav Achsum and Zachalo by Dina Mamanos, right? There's a sheet of the Eidav sign on the star that automatically makes the halos for the person. That doesn't apply to get. You could say it doesn't apply to get because get's a chov and not a chos, which is a Mefurish Gemara in the first parak. But also it seems to be there's no Vanasim Biyada if the Eidav Achsum and Zachalo. Where's the Nasim Biyada? So, you know, it's like Fligit HaMiyavei Karka. So, you could say, or rather, it's like Fligit HaMiyavei Karka. The husband never did anything to her. So, you could say, if we find, in Mamatsid Af Yutes, that Eidav Sum Zachla can work for Shechuri Avadim, maybe that proves the Rav said that by Shechuri Avadim there's no soul of Fligit HaMiyavei Karka. If so, in any case, though, you know, if you look at Shechuri Avadim, is there soul of Fligit HaMiyavei Karka if you're looking at Kedusha Shtar is there psul tefligit miyavei karka? You could ask one perspective would be tefligit miyavei karka is a lack of a formal ma'aseh nesina. So you just have to ask, do you require ma'aseh nesina in these things? But if you look at it as tefligit miyavei karka is a psul because you need this existential, interpersonal initiative to send the proper message, then you could ask the same question you could ask in Kedushin. Is that what Kedushin is all about? Does Kedushin have this existential message behind it, or is it just a kinyan in Shechuri Avadim? Do you also need the shiluach, or is it just a renouncement of your rights? So it might, the status of the applicability to Tligit HaMiyavei Karka and Yisthumin might depend not on whether it needs a maaseh nesina in the formal sense, but on the fundamental nature of these acts. Okay, but that certainly needs some more clarification. The next thing we discussed, we just pointed out, Agav, once we're discussing Tligit HaMiyavei Karka, we have to point out this famous Tosfos written Kedushin Daf Chesam and Beis, which throws a monkey wrench into Kol Tarkula. Tosfos written Kedushin Daf Chesam and Beis is something very radical. He says that when is there a problem of Tligit HaMiyavei Karka? The husband, on his own initiative, puts it on the ground and tells the wife to take it. But if the wife tells the husband where to put it, says, put the get on the desk, even not in her shush, put the get on the, fire hydrant. Put the get on the garbage truck, whatever it may be. If she tells him to put it someplace and he puts it there, that's valid. That's no problem. It's legit to bring out the karka. That's as if he gave it to her. That's enough to be young enough. So he has this radical chiddush. It's not really about to get the bring out the karka. It just comes out of order. This radical chiddush that wherever she tells him to put it, that's her mailbox. It's as if she received it. She can make anything in the world her mailbox. Not only things that are owned by her. Even a total hefgersh, boulder in the middle of the forest, or a tree, or anything she can make into her mailbox, and then it'll be a valid nesina. What this is saying is that, taking going back to the chiddush by shlich l'kabbalah, remember we have two ways of understanding shlich l'kabbalah, regular shlichus, or she just makes it like her mailbox. So what he's saying is that, take shlich l'kabbalah the second way, but lav davka shlichus, who within any object in the world. So whatever she says, she can say, this is now my mailbox, and therefore I'm considering myself to have received it. That's a big chiddush. The next thing we discussed was lo chazur shlichus eitzel abal. The Gemara says that what's the problem? If he says, be my shliach lo locha until you get to this bezdin, and then be your own shliach lekabala and receive it from yourself. That's the problem, because lo chazur shlichus eitzel abal. What does that mean? So Rashi and Tosfos say, what's the problem? The problem is the moment she finishes being his shliach, she becomes her. And therefore, the moment after she's his shliach, she has to stop being his shliach. Normally, when I'm your shliach, I can be your shliach even the moment afterwards. And I can be chozer tzalal. I can come back and report to you. Doesn't mean I literally have to, but I theoretically could. In this case, no. For her to do nesina, she has to stop being his shliach lo halacha and only be her own kabbalah. And therefore, since she can't be the shliach the second after she does it, she can't go back and report to the baal, that's a psul and shlichus. What is this saying? What this is saying is that what's the assumption of Rashi and Tosfos? Even though Tosfos is a little funny, he says, this is my pshat, and Rashi didn't say that way. Rashi did. Okay, he must have been Gersom, but the mice and Rashi and Tosfos say the same thing. What they're saying is the shlicha is not just like a certain act that I want to count for the mashalach. Shlichas has to be an ongoing relationship between the shliach and the mashalach. Shlichas has to be a relationship. And there's only relationship if that relationship can continue even after you do what I'm saying. You can come back and report to me. Not that you literally have to, but you could. The relationship transcends this particular maisa. But if shlichus is just a maisa, not a relationship, then it's not shlichus. That's a chiddush of shlichus, that shlichus has to be a relationship. He thought of the Hanvi being a raya for the fact that if the shliach does something which is not what he was commanded to do, the shliach is batal because he's not fulfilling this relationship. But that's not really a good raya because he just wasn't made a shliach for that, to do anything other than what he was told. So forget that. Okay, the machlok is that's how Rashi and Tosfos interpret it. But the Ritva interprets it differently. The Ritva says the problem with Fligitzach when he got my tarka, what happens? First I stop being a shliach lahalacha, then I start being a shliach with Kabbalah. In between, I'm nothing. So therefore, it's as if I put it down on a nothing, neutral, in-between space, in-between. And that's the Gitzel when you have a karka. It's the Gitzel when you have a karka. And the Shlech Lelocha puts it down in a neutral space. And then the woman gets it. So here also, there's this time lag in-between being Shlech Lelocha and Shlech Lekabbalah, and it's the Gitzel when you have a karka. The Ritva seems to say this in a very technical, coincidental way. He says, because if you look at the language of the Baal, he said, be my Shlech Lelocha until you enter Bezin Plomi. So the second her foot enters the door of Bezin Plomi, she stops being a shliach lahalacha, yet it's not the time when she's ready to be mekabel it yet. So in between, it's in this sort of neutral ground, like karka. Rav Lichtenstein thought maybe to say like the Ritva in a more fundamental way, like not just because the Baal wasn't careful in his language and says you're my shliach till you enter the Bezdin. Even though the Baal was careful in his language, it could be that fundamentally, you can't give something to yourself. To have a mice in a sinar akna, you need to give something to someone else. Therefore, she needs to stop being the Baal before she starts being herself. What do you mean? Oh, correct. Yeah, so that's a turkey in the Ritva. So maybe you have to say the Ritva's language is a little davka, and he really meant something more fundamental, which is that she has to stop being him before she becomes her, which means there's this sort of split second in the difference. It's always a complicated issue how to evaluate that split second in the middle. But there's some split second in the middle where she's neither, and therefore it's a problem with Ligitach Le'agabi Karka, because she can't go straight from being him to being her, because then there'd be no like moment where she could actually do the Nesina. Okay, so that's, you have to see how that works out. That might be how you have to touch up the Ritva. Okay, the last thing I think we discussed was also in Agav Orcha, a tangent from the Gemara, in the end he says, be my Shlich Lalacha to give to this other guy. So that's talking about shliachos or shliach, right? So we know this is not a chiddush. We know shliachos or shliach by holachas gerushin. That's a mefurish drasha and kiddushin afim alafim alafim beginning shliach sugya. V'shalach malamit shem. V'alos shliach. V'shalach malamit shesh. Ishos shliach. V'shalach v'shalach malamit shesh shliachos shliach. That's also mishnayis later on that a shliach can make a shliach. If that's what Aleph says, clearly you send a shliach lalacha, he gets sick, he can make another shliach. There's a whole deal in that Gemara. Only if he gets sick, even if he doesn't get sick, when can he, when can't he? Most Rishonim assume that it's just a psychological focus. That they're arguing, when would the Baal want him to make a second shliach, when would the Baal not want him to make a second shliach. But you could view the whole issue of shliach osu shliach in a more fundamental way. Should he, maybe they're arguing about, without getting to the shita there, does he fundamentally have the right to make another shliach or not? Why should he fundamentally have this right or not? That might depend how you view shlichus. If shlichus means I give over my entire status to the new guy and make him kamoso mamish, and the shliach is mamish like a bailam, then of course he can make a shliach. But if it means no, I just want to take credit for one action that he does, but he's not mamish giving the status of bailam. He just has the ability to have this one action count for me because it was done at my behest. Then he shouldn't be able to make a shliach. So it might depend on the yesodus, the chakir of shlichus. Am I making him mamish, kamoso mamish, like he's mamish, the new baal of this maisa, in which case he can make shliach, or no, he's just doing an action for me. So this comes up in the famous Shut Rivash. Right, if you understand that shlichus or shliach is a fundamental lundish issue, that when the shliach is kamoso mamish, shlichus or shliach, but the shliach is not kamoso mamish, just like doing an action on my behalf, then he can't be osu shliach. Then, that's how the Rivash understood it. The Rivash was dealing with a silly case. A dayan wanted to make a shliach to judge for him. That clearly doesn't work. You have to explain it, but obviously it doesn't work. But Agav, he got into a whole discussion of shliach osu shliach. He says, in kol tar kula, can a shliach osu shliach or not? Why not? Because there's only a makar by gerish in a shliach osu shliach, from mishalach, 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 mishalach. And the Gemara points out, you couldn't have learned Kol Tor Kula from Gerushin. So, how do we know if a Shliach can be also Shliach in Kol Tor Kula? So, he has two answers. His first answer is that, no, shliachos or shliach is not a chiddush. It's just an igloi milsa. A new din, you can't learn one part of the Torah from the other part of the Torah. But an igloi milsa, you can learn one part of the Torah from another part of the Torah. What does he mean by this? Shliachos or shliach is not a new rule. It's an igloi milsa about the nature of shlichos. And once you have that igloi milsa about the nature of shlichos, so it's true in Kol Torah Kula, what's the igloi milsa? What he's saying is that there, why is it igloi milsa? There are two ways you could have understood shlichos. Either kamoso mamish, he's the bailim, or just he's doing an action for me. And so shlichos or shlich is igloi milsa. The shlichos means kamoso mamish. And therefore, we know in Kol Torah Kula, shlichos means kamoso mamish. That was the first day of the Rivash. Then he had a second day of the Rivash, which is very lumdish. The second day of the Rivash is very lumdish. He says maybe, at least in the Havamina, there's Tzvei Dinim in Shlichos. Sorry. What are the Tzvei Dinim in Shlichos? He said, if you look at it, how did we learn Shlichos and Kol Torah Kula from Karban Pesach? Which says, V'shachatu aso kol adas Kaladas Yisrael ben Yarbayim, that the Shliach is called Kaladas Yisrael. I mean, the Shliach is called the same as the Meshaleach, he's Kamoso Mamash. So he says, in Kol Torah Kula, it was Pashut that Shliach was a Shliach, because he's Kamoso Mamash. But in Gittin, we had a Havmina that ain't Shliach was a Shliach. Only in Gittin did we need a Pashut, because in Gittin it says Meshalach. That doesn't mean the Shliach is Kamoso Mamash, that just means I can send it through the Shliach. But it's not giving the Shliach the status of Bailam, it's just that the Shliach is a valid way for me to indirectly do something. So the second day, the Rivash says, there are Tzvei Dinim in Shlichos, in Kol Torah Kula, it's Kamoso Mamish, so of course the Shlichos can do whatever he wants. But in Gerushin, it's just Meshalach Meshalcha. It's just that he's doing a Maisa for me. I'm doing a Maisa through him. Therefore, we have mean he can't make a Shlichos. So Kamash Malon, Meshalach Meshalcha, that he can make a Shlichos even in Gerushin. What's the Kamash Malon? After the Kamash Malon, there's still Tzvei Dinim in Shlichos? So he could have said, Kamash Malon, that in Gittin, he's not Kamoso Mamish, but yet he can still make a Shliach for some reason. The Rivash understood, though, the Kamash Malon is that in the Havli, there's Tvei Dinim Shliachos, and the Kamash Malon, there aren't. Kamash Malon, that Gerushin is also Kamoso Mamish. What?
What's the Havli? Of course, Gerushin.
No, the Rivash says you couldn't have learned only from Gerushin. And then they bring in these other things.
You learn that from Zashel, Gerushin, and Kashin. That
the whole Kamosa Mamish, but the Gerushin is not Kamosa Mamish? Well, no, in the end, the Rivash says it's Kamosa Mamish by Gerushin also. That's only in the Havamina.
Well, let's say the Gerushin hasn't been in Drasha, that Shlichos or Shlichos. So you're learning
then I don't know what we would have learned to call Tarkula. I don't know what we would have learned to call Tarkula. Maybe we would have learned whichever is the lowest common denominator of Shlichos. Right. Maybe we wouldn't have learned anything.
And he says, the Rivash spell out that the Havamina would be the Kol Torah Kula, Shlichos or Shlichos, and the Gerushin not?
I don't know if he says Kol Torah Kula or he says the other Pesukim.
Uh-huh, okay.
I'm not sure what would have been in Kol Torah Kula. Okay. That depends. Do you actually need Gerushin in the end? Or could you have done with just Truma and and Kudshin? What? Shekhin Yeshem Machshava. So maybe it would only you would have Nechalikin things are Machshava and things are Maisa. Okay, so he would. I mean, you have to be Medayik in his Lashon. But the basic point is the Rivash asked, how do we know Shlichos or Shlich and everything if the Mukher is only by Gerushin? And there's two answers. Either the Makar is only by Gerushin, but the Igloi Milsa is to the nature of Shlichos, so it applies to everything, which is showing that Shlichos is Kamoso Mamish, or you only needed a Makar in Gerushin because you had a Havmina otherwise, because you had a Havmina that it wasn't Kamoso Mamish. But Kamash won in the end, everything's Kamoso Mamish, so you have by Gerushin, Shalach Vashulcha, and by Pesach was obvious Kamoso Mamish, so therefore in the end you have everything. So it seems to be in the Rivash that bottom line, it's always Kamoso Mamish, and that's why Shlichos are Shliach. But you don't have to agree with the Rivash. You could have also said, once you brought up this issue, that no, Shlichos is not Kamoso Mamish. And even if Shlichos are Shliach, maybe that's a special Chiddush, Nafkamina Lechor would be whether the Shlich Sheini can make a Shlich Shlishi. If it's kamoso mamish, then you just pass that along. If it's really, you shouldn't make shleichel shleich, but a special exeris of custom to do it, then it shouldn't apply to a third time. The Gemara is misopic whether you can make a shleich shlishi. In the end, you can. So at the very least, that in the Hav, I mean, you have this idea that maybe even though shleichos are shleich, it's not because it's kamoso mamish, it's a local exeris of custom. Well, the kamash in the end seems to be that no, you can go down the chain and make as many shluchim as you want, which would work better for kamoso mamish. There's a whole discussion about whether shliach can be also shliach in various tchumin in the Torah. There's a famous sheet of the Kaddish Midru and the Mordechai in Kiddushin. Can you shliach also shliach in shliach leKabbalah? Can shliach also shliach in shliach leKiddushin? Holachas Kiddushin, Kabbalah's Kiddushin, Kiddushin Shtar, Kiddushin Kesef. How is shliach also shliach by Truma? The only people who deal with that is the Sheet of the Nodalimi in Kiddushin and Rosh Shlomo Zalman in his Truma's book. So, we might get back to that when we discuss Truma in the next year.